You may have heard that title, visiting professor. Students say to me, you've been visiting for 16 years now. What does that mean? Well, what it means is I'm on an annual contract and I can be fired any year. So far, I've been able to pull the wool over their eyes and I'm still here. A seminary is, by definition, a professional school. You come here to learn the skills necessary to fulfill a profession. The profession of pastor, the profession of teacher, the profession of counselor. You come to learn skills. But if at the end of 3 or 4 or 5 or 10 years, we send you out from here as professional Christians, we have failed. The great danger of seminary is that you learn how to talk about God and stop talking to Him. That's what Jesus is dealing with in John 15, and He uses the figure of speech from Isaiah. Now, Isaiah was a great preacher. He knew his audience. About the only thing Judah is good for is growing vines. Not a good place for grain, not a good place for pasturage, but vines, yeah. So, Isaiah says, my beloved had a vineyard. Ooh, they're all ears. We know about this. Yeah, that first year, he cleared the land of stones. The other good thing Judah is good for besides vines is stones. So he spent a year clearing the stones, building walls, building a watchtower, digging out the wine press. Oh, his hearers are saying, yeah, we know. Man, we've been there, got the t-shirt. And the second year, he bought the best vines he could get. Yeah, you got to do that. Can't skimp there. He planted those vines. And the third year, he came out ready for the crop. Wow, look at him. Wow, luscious. It's bitter. No. It's bitter. What shall I do with my vineyard? They're standing on the backs of the pews by now. Tear it up, burn it down, get rid of it. You're right, and you are the vineyard of the Lord. Bitter grapes. In the rest of chapter 5, he details what they are. Arrogance. I am number one. Thank you very much. Greed. And since I'm number one, I have a right to get whatever I want. Jealousy. And you are in the way. Violence. So I'm gonna get it. Bitter grapes. Jesus takes that image and turns it on its head. He says, I'm the vine, you are the branches, and if we do this right, you're going to produce sweet grapes. That's what seminary is about. Seminary is about you in Christ, Christ in you producing fruit. Now, he uses a word. It's a word that's very difficult to translate fully into English. You're going to learn this. Isn't that exciting? Wow. It's the Greek word meno. And it means, I guess if we were to have a really contemporary translation, it means to hang out. Many contemporary translations, and you heard the New Living Translation, will translate it as remain. But that's not really good enough. About the only word that really gets it is the archaic word that the King James translators came up with. Abide. Jesus says, guys, and this, of course, is, as you probably know, is in the so-called Last Supper discourse. Guys, I got two things I need to tell you. Number one, I'm going away. What? No. I've been with you for 3 years, but I'm leaving. Here's the second thing. It's not going to be a triumphal parade for you. The world hates you. Jesus, but here's the good news. I'm coming back. And I'm not just going to be with you, I'm going to be in you. Oh my goodness. You see, Christianity is a very rational religion. Yes, it is. Bless the Lord. Christianity is a profoundly ethical religion. Thank God. But beyond those, Christianity is a mystical reality. A mystical reality. Christ in you. And so Jesus says, I'm the vine, and you're the branches, and I want you to abide in me. Live into me. Interpenetrate you and me. And I, guess what? I'm going to abide in you. You can't kick me out very easily. I'm in here. I'm in you. And if you abide in me, you're going to produce good fruit. Now, I have to tell you, this passage, when I was a little younger than I am now, used to condemn me because I was taught to believe that fruit was converts. And I wasn't very good at producing converts. Well, we do need to produce converts. I'm not going to let you off that hook. But I don't think that's what this passage is about. What is the fruit? It's spelled out in a couple of different places in the New Testament. But I like what Paul says in Colossians chapter 3. And the funny thing about these fruit, this fruit of the Spirit, is it's all about other people. If you'll let me live in a closet, I'll be the holiest man you ever met. I was a very patient man till we had children. Paul says, chosen, beloved, holy. That's abiding. Put on compassion. Wow. The ability to get out of yourself and into what somebody else is feeling. Many years ago, when I was on the faculty here, we had a period of time when we were all trying to get in touch with our feelings. We did it really well. It's kind of disgusting. What Paul is saying is, get in touch with their feelings. Oh my. Kindness. Kindness. Just doing nice things for other people that they don't deserve. They haven't earned it. there's a sticker on the cash register at the Dollar Tree in Nicholasville, and it says, "I'm having a bad day too." Compassion, kindness, humility. That's not thinking little of yourself. It's not thinking of yourself. A humble person is free, free from that damned self-consciousness. Compassion, kindness, humility, meekness. Meekness is a word that has fallen on very hard times. Nobody wants to be meek. So the translations struggle with it. Many have chosen gentleness. That's okay, but I don't think that's what it is. Three times in the Old Testament, the meek will inherit the earth. Jesus picks it up. I'm convinced to be meek is to be non-self-assertive. To be meek is not to get your own way. To be meek is not to have to win. Compassion, kindness, humility, meekness, patience. And it's not what you practice when you're waiting for the red light to change. No, it's putting up with other people. Oh my. Letting me be fallible. Letting you be short-tempered. Putting up with each other. Forgiving. Paul, that's a bridge too far. I can be patient with them, but forgive them? And all of it wrapped in self-giving, self-denying love. Christ in you. In these years you spend here, the most significant thing you can do, hear me, the most significant thing you can do is to learn how to abide in Christ. If you get all A's in all your courses and miss that, you will have missed everything. You will go out not to bless the world, but to curse it. That's the choice that lays before you today. Oh, you've got so much fun ahead of you. You really do. You really do. There are people in the majority world who would die to be where you are today. With the opportunities, the possibilities, the mind-blowing stuff that you are going to deal with, the joy of studying the Word, oh man, good for you. You've made a good choice to be here. But I tell you, seminary can kill you. I've met them. Some of my students, some of my classmates, professionally and spiritually dead. So, how do you avoid that? Being an old man, I've got some advice for you. Do whatever you have to fall in love with Jesus. in your Bible work, in your theology work, in your professional skill work, in all of that, fall in love with Jesus. Look for Jesus in it all. And then die. Die to yourself and your will and your way. That needs to happen in a crisis moment. If it hasn't happened yet, pursue it. What needs to happen in my life, Lord, to get me out of here and you in? And then it needs to happen every day. Paul wasn't just blowing smoke when he said, I die daily. I've used this illustration. I think it's original to me. We are like a piece of bent spring steel. Straighten that baby up. No good. How am I going to get that thing straight? Can it ever be straight? Let's put a powerful magnet against it. It's straight. It's straight. Until you take the magnet away from it. Die. Practice dying to yourself. Look upon some of those humiliating experiences that you're going to have. Like when the professor calls on you and you have the foggiest what he's talking about. Look upon that as grace, an opportunity to die. Fall in love with Jesus. Die to yourself and your will. Learn to pray. Notice what I didn't say? I didn't say learn how to pray. You can do that. You can do it, and it'll damn your soul. You go out there, and the people say, oh, Pastor, your prayers are so moving. You need to go to your study and fall on the floor. Learn to pray. Again, I'm up here, so I get to talk. Long ago, a little less than 100 years ago, while I was in your place, the seminary had a 24-hour prayer chain. At that point, we were still heirs of Henry Clay Morrison's Pentecostal Herald, which at one time was the magazine with the largest circulation in the country. People would write in prayer requests. They figured people at Asbury must pray. So those prayer requests were put on the altar in the Luce Haskins Prayer Chapel. And we were invited to come and pray over those requests. I chose Friday noon. First time I went in there, I thought, how in the world am I going to fill up an hour? It wasn't hard. I treasure those hours. Learn to pray. Fall in love with Jesus. Die to yourself and your way. Learn to pray. Guard your devotional life as you would guard your eyes. You will say, I know, I've been there. I'm just so busy. Once I get out and I have more time, then I'll really get regular in my devotional life. I've got bad news for you. You're never going to have more time than you have now. It's not going to get better. It's going to get worse. If you do not spend significant time, and I'm not going to tell you how much time, but every day you need to spend time with Jesus. In the scripture, in prayer, in devotional reading. You say, well, sometimes it's so dull and dry. What else is new? We humans are rhythmic in the way we operate. Sometimes you're going to be on the floor crying. And other times you're going to be saying, what was that about? It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. What matters is you're there and you're there with him. Guard it. But now this one might not get as much affirmation. Seek out opportunities for public worship. I sat here in chapel with a board member who was a pastor, and I'm sorry to say the place was nearly empty. He looked around and he said, and all those people that are not here are going to go out here and try to persuade people to come to their church services. But I don't like the music. The preacher, I've heard about him. He's boring. I've heard that professor before, and he's dull. Forget that. You need to be with brothers and sisters who will encourage your faith by their presence. I need you to be in chapel when I come. And I dare say you might need me. Look for opportunities. Fall in love with Jesus. Die to yourself and your way. Learn to pray. Guard your daily devotions. Seek out opportunities for public worship. Lock the door with a cedar bar. I saw that in Song of Songs last week and thought, I need to tell him that. It's in that last chapter. The brothers say, we have a young sister. What are we to do with her? We're going to lock her door with a cedar bar. You know where your weaknesses are. You know. Maybe it's video games. God help you, maybe it's pornography. This is not my problem, but it might be yours. Shopping. Guard the door. Know where your weaknesses are and block them off. Find some place of service. Again, when I was here 100 years ago, we had a student organization called Christian Service Brotherhood. And we did stuff. We filled pulpits in little churches that didn't have preachers. We passed out food baskets. We did a variety of things. You could volunteer at the community service center. Find some place to serve, and connected with that, get connected with a local church. Don't become a church hopper. Get connected with a local body where you can be of service. They always need nursery people. You could help. Well, my time's gone and you've listened very kindly. These words were written 150 years ago. I hope they might be your mantra while you're here. Breathe on me, breath of God. Fill me with life anew, that I may love what thou dost love and do what thou wouldst do. Breathe on me, breath of God, until my heart is pure. Until with thee I will one will to do and to endure. Breathe on me, breath of God, till I am wholly thine. Till all this earthly part of me glows with thy fire divine. If those words are true of you, when we give you your certificate or your diploma, we will have succeeded. But it's up to you. Seminary can make you spiritually alive, or seminary can make you spiritually dead. It's your choice.